think I'm good now, right? You can hear me? I can hear you. Put this together, and we'll be ready together to share the word. How are you today? Doesn't look like you're happy. I'm happy to be here. Can you just turn it down a little? Thank you. You see, I have a very loud voice, so I can always overpower the microphone. It's wonderful to be here at the Sabbath day. What do you say, folks? We could have been anywhere else, but God is good all the time. And that is part of God's nature to be good. Isn't that right? Amen. I want to bring you greetings from the Waldwick School. I want to let you know that the school is doing very well. Wow, I heard of only a few people said amen. Amen. I am saying that Waldwick School is doing good. We have over 105 students. That's almost the highest in probably 20 years. And we are doing very well. We are scheduled to get our accreditation next year in the spring. And hopefully, we have a few things to take care of. And hopefully, we will be able to get another 6 years of certification. So that's good. So remember us in prayer. Also, we are having sometime in May, we will be having our constituency meeting. We haven't had a constituency meeting in about, boy, I've been on the school board from 1992. So it's almost 25 years I've been on the school board, and we haven't had a constituency meeting. So we are looking at setting up our constitution so that we can have our constituency meeting. We have Wayne, Waldwick, and Hackensack that need to meet together. There are a couple of things that we need to put in place, you know, with the alignment of New Jersey Conference. They have about something like 20 churches in the district. So we have some things to put together. So we want to make sure that we go over our constitution, and we'll send it over to you. You'll have about 30 days to review it. Any questions? And then sometime within May, we will have a constituency meeting. It will be on a Sunday. Hello? It will be on a Sunday. We want to make it not more than two and a half hours. There are a lot of things that we need to put in place. So please bear with us and make sure that we'll make enough copies so every church member will get one and they'll review it. Any question, you'll get back to us. The good news is that we have a new chairman at the Waldwick School. Hello? Yeah, we have a new chairperson at the Waldwick School. And the chairperson is Michael Maliti. Very happy to have him on the school board. Michael, I've been there for, I think, almost 17, 18 years. And the two of us have been tenured over there. So I'm going into the twilight, so we need to put it in good hands. Hello. That's good. So let's continue to pray for the school. We do appreciate Wayne's support to the Waldwick School. He's doing a tremendous job supporting us. We have a few projects that we are working on, the school ground, the playground, the parking lot, the roof, the school. We have a couple of issues, and Wayne is definitely a stalwart in supporting the school, both financially and with our board members. So we definitely want to say thank you to that, right? All right, it's almost 12 o'clock. As soon as I leave here, I'm going to the prison. I have 6 inmates to baptize this afternoon. What do you say? Amen. And in 13 years, this will be 302 inmates in 13 years. What do you say? Amen. Amen? So we are doing at least 30 a year, so that's great. And we thank the Lord for that. And we are hoping that we'll continue to provide ministries. Right now, I am in Trenton, Bergen County, Northern State, Avenel, and Rahway. So we have a new church service in Rahway. It's called STU. These are the sexual predators. They are incarcerated, and they are still God's children. Hello? So we have to minister to them. So we have a new team out there. We go there 3 days a week, Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. So we provide ministries to them. And by the grace of God, the Lord will be able to change their hearts. We are having a baptism coming up very soon, and they will accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Amen? Yeah. Now I know I've been talking to Jenny, and Jenny said that there are a few folks who cannot go to the prison, but who would like to correspond with the inmates. And I'll be back here sometime the third Sabbath in April. We'll sit down with you. There's a few training that you have to go through when you do correspondence to the inmates, so we will do that with you. And if you're interested, it's great. We're looking for between 4 to 6, 7 folks, members that are interested, and we can be able to correspond with the inmates. So I should be back here. It's just that I'm a little busy. You understand what I'm saying? So bear with me, but I love this church. I love the folks here. Hello. I love everybody here. Thank you very much. All right, we're going to study about the goodness of God. For the next 25, half an hour or so, study on the goodness of God. Isn't God good? Did you realize that you went to bed last night? I don't know about you, but when I sleep, I'm dead to the world. Anybody sleeps like me? I'm dead to the world. You know, what night? I think it was Wednesday night. When I got up in the morning, you know, my wife goes to work very early. So when I got up in the morning, she said that there was some animals outside there they were making noise. And even it even waked up my daughter that she had to get up and see what was happening. And I said, where? And she said, you did not hear it? I said, no. She said, boy, you must be sleeping like a rock. I have one good sleep. That's what I have, one good sleep. Whatever time I go to bed, I have one good sleep. So if I go to bed 10 o'clock, I do not get up until 4:45. If I go to bed midnight or 1 o'clock, I do not get up until 4:30, 4:45. Please do not wake me up if I fall asleep on the couch. That's where I need to sleep. So they know, my family knows that, so they do not wake me up. For me, if the house is on fire, probably when the fire gets to my big toe, then I realize that the house is on fire. I'm being serious. And I thank the Lord that I can sleep, because no matter how tired I am, when I go to bed, when I get up, I'm refreshed. I'm refreshed. When I go to bed, there's nothing in my mind. My mind is empty, so I just sleep. Now, I'm dead to the world. Now, that's what happens when we sleep, right? So, but for some reason, we go to bed and then we get up and we are refreshed. Do you know how you manage to be rejuvenated? It's God that does it, right? He gives us the strength. It is said that if you go to bed before midnight, your body replenishes itself and restores the dead cells and the broken cells. So I'm encouraging you to go to bed before midnight. Although I don't do it a lot, but I think that you should do it. And then after midnight, your body rests. So that's why you see you need to get that rest. So God takes care of his people, right? So God is good. All the time, he's good. For some reason, you're driving on the highway and somebody just cut you off. Now, I was talking to Oli this morning, and he had an accident, where if God did not take care of him, he could have been dead or he could have received more injuries than what he had. So God is definitely good. And God is so good that he made provision to take care of his children. Isn't that wonderful? So we are going to study today the goodness of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again we come to study. Enlighten us and fill us with your Holy Spirit. Bless us, loving Father, as we study. And as we wait upon you, we pray that you'll create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says in Romans 3:23. What does it say? Romans 3:23. Who said that? All have sinned and come short of what? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, not one. As a matter of fact, all our righteousness are like filthy rags. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23. What does it say? That the wages of sin is what? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life. In other words, when Adam and Eve sinned, they sold themselves over to the enemy Satan. Hello? The Bible says that when before they sinned, the Lord said to them that in the day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Did you realize that? The day you eat thereof, you will die. Now let me share something with you. The Bible says also that in the eyes of the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years. And what? 1,000 years as what? A day. Technically speaking, man has not lived a day in the sight of God. Hello? Did you realize that? A day is a what? So the oldest man who ever lived is Methuselah. In the sight of God, no man has lived more than a day. Did you get that? No man has lived more than one day. Methuselah lived towards the evening of the day. But he died before the day in the sight of God. Now that same time when man sinned, man started to lose the power of immortality. He died that same day. Did you realize that? Man died that same day. Salvation, the immortality was taken away from man, and man died that same day. So man sold over to the enemy. So the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. So now, because we sold over to the enemy, we are destined to die. And that is why you find that people die young. People die sometimes before they are born. People die at any age, because that's the age. We die both physically and spiritually. Did you realize that? Hello? We die because what happened is that when God created Adam and Eve, they were made to remain immortal. But it was based on condition that they continue to live under the criteria that the Lord had set. There was nothing wrong with the tree in the garden. There was nothing wrong with it. All what it was obedience. Hello? You agree? All what it was obedience. I remember when I was growing up as a little boy, you know, I still love oatmeal raisin cookies. Hello? You know what I'm talking about, right? Still love oatmeal raisin cookies. You know, my mother used to make oatmeal raisin cookies, and she used to put it on the table in a jar. And she would say, "Son, do not go in the jar and eat the oatmeal raisin cookies." Now, I don't know about you, but my kids always believe that they can outsmart me. I always believe that I could have outsmarted my parents. And my mom said to me, "Son, you can never outsmart me. Because I tried it with my mother and it did not work. So there's no way you can try it with me." So she decided to put the oatmeal raisin cookies on the table. Now you see, there's a little trick that my mother used to do. She used to line up the sign on the oatmeal, on the jar, like a zero across a line. Now you come and you open the jar. As a kid, you do not look for a zero or some symbol on the jar that matches something else. All what you do is that you take the jar and you look at the jar and you look at it and, you know, you look at it for a while and then you walk away. And then you come back because, you know, your mind is on the oatmeal raisin cookie. So you come back to it. And you open the jar and you look around to see if there is nobody watching. You stand, you're walking around. And mom is not there. Dad is not there. Brothers and sisters are not there. So you take one and two and put it in your pocket. You take one first. And you see, the bad thing is that when you take one, the taste and the desire becomes so great that there is no way now you can
even turn back. You got to go back for two. And all of a sudden, two becomes so tasty and so great. So now you're doing three and four and five. And mom will say, when she comes home, she says, son, did you take the cookies? No, ma'am. And I did not. And to me, when I grew up, the jar looked the same. It looked full the same way, although I took three or four or five. And mom said to me, son, did you take the cookies? No, I did not. And she says, son, I know you did, because there's a special way I left the jar. Oh, man. She haven't even counted the cookies yet. Just that the jar moved from the area, know that I tampered with it. So there was nothing wrong with the tree in the garden. There was nothing wrong with the tree. All what God was saying, like, do not go by it, do not touch it, do not take it. For the day you eat thereof, you will die. It was only obedience. And Adam and Eve, when they sinned, disobeyed God. So from the time they disobeyed God, we were sold over to the enemy. So now Satan became our leader, became the prince of this world. That's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, that Satan now becomes the leader of this world. Now we belong to him. So now, you see, God in his goodness had a plan that, you see, I always tell my family that you need to have plan B. You cannot survive with only plan A. Hello? You need to have plan B, and sometimes you even need to have plan C. If you take a trip, wherever you're going to, and you lose your money, you lose your wallet, or you do not have enough, you need to have plan B. Hello? You cannot only go on plan A. You cannot drive from here to Florida on one tank of gas with no money in your pocket. You need to have plan B. So plan B is in case plan A does not work, so you need to have plan B. You understand what I'm saying? So God now had plan B in place, that in the event man sinned, that God would die. So the plan was that man would be given as the steward of the Garden of Eden to take care of it. But if man does not keep up with the job, the plan B would come into effect. So when man sinned, God put plan B into effect. And plan B was that the Bible says that in Romans 6, the wages of sin is death. But the second part says that the gift of God is eternal life. And the gift of God is in John 3:16. What does he say? For God do what? So loved the world that he do what? He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him will not perish, do but do what? So plan B came into effect. Matthew 1:21 talks about Jesus Christ coming, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall do what? Save his people from their sins. So now man was destined to die. Man was destined to be totally separated from God. But Jesus, God, decided that God had to come. You see, angels could not have done it. God had to give himself up. Bible says in Hebrews that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, no remission of sin. So when Adam sinned, blood had to be shed. Hello? From way down. You remember when God asked for a sacrifice between Cain and Abel? He said a lamb without blemish was supposed to be killed in the evening, in the morning and evening, to represent the forgiveness of sin. And Cain brought the best that he had. But it was not acceptable. Blood had to be atoned for sin. Somebody had to die for our sins. Somebody had to die for your sins. Somebody had to die for my sins. And it had to take God to do it. So he got to be good. So what happened was, as man continued to offer sacrifices all through the patriarchal system, all through the Israelite system, the wilderness system. You remember There was the morning oblation and there was the evening oblation, a sacrifice every day. And once a year, they would gather together to offer sacrifices, to clean the sanctuary. So when John saw Jesus coming, you see, all these things from the time Abel offered that first sacrifice, Christ offered that first sacrifice to show Adam and Eve from way down to John 1:29. When John saw Jesus coming, what did he say? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So Jesus had to come and fulfill what the first Adam lost. He became the second Adam to redeem man from the penalty of death. Now, when we talk about death, we are not talking about when somebody dies that they lose their breath and they go into George Washington Cemetery. No, we are talking about totally being separated from God. Because you see, God is righteous, and sin and unrighteousness, sin and righteousness cannot go together. God is light, sin is darkness. Light and darkness does not go together. So Christ had to die to bring man back to his lost state. Christ had to die. So the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, for by grace I am saved through faith. Hello? By grace are we saved through faith. Now what is grace? Grace is an unmerited favor, a favor that we do not deserve. You understand that? I told you earlier on, it says that the wages of sin, the payment for sin, is death. Now, if I were to ask, what's your name, bro?
Danny.
If I were to ask, if Danny is working for me, Danny, I hope so. I hope you can work for me. In the ministry, I mean. Right? If Danny is working for me, and he comes to work on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, he says, listen, Kenton, I am not feeling well. He came in at 8 o'clock. His hours are from 8 to 4:30. Comes in at 8 o'clock Monday, 8 o'clock Tuesday, 8 o'clock Wednesday, and he says, by 12, I'm not feeling well, Kenton. And I said, hey, Danny, you go home and take some rest. He comes back tomorrow morning, the Thursday, and he says, I'm still not feeling well, but by 9 o'clock, I send him home, and I said, Danny, you know, take off. Then he comes on Friday, you know, just before payday at 4:30. Right? Comes at Thursday, and he says, you know, boss, I'm still not feeling well. And I said to him, well, before he started working, I said, I'm going to pay you $10 an hour. That's pretty good, right, bro? Right? $10 an hour. So he only worked, what, 3 days, to have 26 hours. How much do I owe him? 26 times 10. 260, right? That's what he works. That's what I have to give him, right? That's a fair wage. But in my goodness, I know that Brother Danny struggles and he, you know, things are tied by him and he needs to pay some extra bills. So I said, listen, instead of giving you the 260, I'm going to give you $400, which is for 40 hours. Did he deserve it? Did he work for it? But I gave it to him, right? The same thing happened to us. We were destined to sin. We are destined to die, but God in his goodness decided that, listen, I saw somebody in Wayne Church. I saw somebody sitting here today who needs salvation, who needs redemption, who needs to be free from sin. So I am going to go out and pay the full penalty for the individual. So grace was given to us. It's just like somebody who have been convicted and sentenced to life in prison. We found the possibility of parole. And for some reason, some good Samaritan says, listen, I realize that you have committed the crime. And you're destined to be in prison for life. But I I'm going to be lenient on you. I'm going to be good on you. Do not find yourself in trouble anymore. So I'm going to cut down your term to only 5 years. Hello? That's grace. We will not deserve salvation. Hello? We will not deserve eternal life. But Jesus came right on time. It says, by grace are ye saved through faith. Grace is an unmerited favor. None of us can ever atone to receive any compensation whatsoever towards our salvation. It is totally free in Jesus Christ. But it says, by grace are ye saved through faith. What does the Bible say in Hebrews 11:1 as faith? It says that faith is what? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I was telling the inmates a few months ago. Somebody asked me, you know, the Bible says in James that faith without works is dead. So I said to him, have you ever had a toothache? Anybody had a toothache? A few of us. Great. I thank the Lord I haven't had one yet. When you have a toothache, can you touch the pain? Huh? Can you touch the pain? No. How do you know that the pain is there? Huh? You can feel it, right? That's what John says. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You see, when the Spirit comes in us, when we have that faith that surpasses all normal faith, because our faith in Jesus Christ is so powerful, is so great, that when we connect with Jesus Christ, it changes us. Hello? And you see, man looketh on the outside appearance and still think that we are sinning and we are sinners, but God sees the heart. Hello? God sees that we have made some transition from being a sinner to a saint. So instead of feeling the pain of the toothache, now we can feel the Spirit, because the Spirit comes in us. And because the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe. Hello? You must believe. You must believe that God can deliver. And I'm happy that we serve a God that can deliver. What do you say? He can deliver. He says that I will never leave you nor forsake you. You see, the Lord will not leave his own in the hands of the enemy too long before he makes a way of escape. So sometimes we go through some crucibles, and we go through some hard time. We go through some difficult time. But sometimes the Lord needs to take us to some place where we need to understand that we are not running the show. Hello? It is only God that gives us the ability and the strength to navigate through life. And sometimes we believe that we are running our own self. And sometimes the Lord sees that, listen, if I do not put the brakes on you, we are like a freight train without a conductor. You understand what that means, right? A freight train without a conductor very soon or shortly will crash. So God, in his goodness, have made the reservation for us to believe and to trust in him. So one of these good days, one of these very short days, our faith will become real. What do you say? We have the faith. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. We have the faith that one day we will see Jesus Christ for ourselves. It doesn't matter how many times I tell you about it, but very shortly, when Jesus comes, you will see him for your own self. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, it says that eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the hearts of man the things that God have in store for them that love him. Hello? You cannot fathom the idea. You just have to believe it by faith. Because God's goodness will continue to manifest itself in your life. So as God's goodness continues to manifest itself, we got to be patient. Hello? We got to be patient. We got to hold on. We got to make sure that we are following what God tells us. You see, we cannot afford to be sidetracked right now. I think I said something wrong. Did you hear what I said? I said, church, you cannot afford to be sidetracked right now. I am saying that this church, hello, this Seventh-day Adventist church will be rocked by controversy. Hello? There will be hypocrites in here. Hello? There will be backbiters in here. You understand what I'm saying? But this is still God's church. You will find that it will get a little rough in God's church. Because you see, when Jesus was on the ocean with the disciples, the storm came and it was tossing back and forth, but nobody jumped overboard. Did you get me? This is God's church. This church militant will eventually be the church triumphant. This church will take us to the kingdom of God. We cannot afford to be sidetracked. We must look to Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And he who start a good work in you will continue until the day star arise. So do not let anybody capture your seat on this train. Hello? It might sound pretty hard, but it's true. The servant of the Lord says, many brilliant lights will go in darkness. So we cannot be sidetracked. We must keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. Because one day, he will come to take us home. What do you say? Not very long. As you can see, the unfolding of the world. Revelation seems to be more profound now, talking about how the image of the beast will be risen up to magnitude that eventually we will make an image to the beast. Very shortly is going to be to the time where it will be for God's people that if we cannot buy or sell or receive the mark of the beast in our forehead, we'll not be able to do transaction. So we need to discern the time that Jesus has said that, listen, you need to exercise faith. You need to exercise confidence because I am coming very shortly to take you home. And he's coming. And when he comes, my brothers and sisters, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 9 that the saints will stand up and say, lo, this is our God, and he will save us. I want to be there. How about you? I want to be there. We've been too long getting where we are going. So man arises and say it's not real anymore. Men start to question the belief and the doctrine of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Just because we are getting too long, getting where we are going, so new things comes up. But let's keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. What do you say? Let's keep near to Jesus. You see, Jesus have already said in John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will do what? Set you free. And Paul admonished Timothy. He says to study, to show thyself, approve unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. Watch the unfolding of God timetables in these last days. Watch the unfolding of prophecy, because God will keep his people unto the end. The Bible says, he that putteth his hand to the plow and turn back is not fit for the kingdom. I want to be there. How about you? Isaiah 40, verse 31, 28 to 31 says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Hello? They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary and never faint. I want to be there. How about you? Gotta set our mind. We cannot afford to allow anything to distract us right now. I've set my mind and my eyes on the promised land, and nothing is going to turn me around. How about you? God is going to take care of his people. He will take care of his people. He have done it in the past, and he will do it again and again and again. He have always take care of his people when crisis arise. All what we have to do is trust into the divine hand. He has never lost a battle. He have never lost a victory. He is the captain of the host of this church. And this church, although it is rocked by controversy, although it is rocked by whatever you may call it, this church will eventually be at the foot of the cross. This church will be in the kingdom of God. And I want to be there. How about you? And very shortly, when he comes, it says in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4 that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. No more sorrow. Hello? No more pain. No more sickness. Hello? No more death. No more separation. We shall enjoy the bliss of eternity. It's going to be a glorious day. What about you? I don't know about you, but when Christ comes with over 2 million of his angels to call the redeemed home, I want to be there. When the great table is set and Christ is at the head of the table, I'm not worried about where I'm going to sit. As long as I'm in there, that's what's count. I'm going to see him one of these good days. One of these good days, I'm going to walk the streets of gold. Hello? I'm going to be at the fruit that the Bible says that the tree of life bears 12 manner of fruits. And I want to be there so I can enjoy a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm tired of this world, my brothers and sisters. I'm almost closer to 100 than zero. And I heard my father was preaching that Jesus is coming very soon. I'm almost there, close to 100, and I'm still hearing it. The same message is being preached, that Jesus is coming very soon. But he will come. So he says, cast not therefore your confidence, which have great recompense of reward, for after you have done the will of God, he shall receive what? The promise. What is the promise that Christ will give us? He says in John 14, 1 to 3, he says what? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, what? Believe also in me. In my Father's house, many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you that I do what? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there he may be also. That's the best news for God's people in these troublous times. What do you see? That's the best news, that Jesus is coming back again. And my final text to you this morning is Hebrews 10, 37. He that shall come will come and will not tarry. So God's goodness have taken us thus far. He will take us to the end. Let us hold on to Jesus Christ. Let us pray that Jesus will keep us near the cross. Because there is the fountain that continues to flow and sustain God's people. So if you do not see me again, and if you do not hear me again, I want you, my brothers and sisters, to remain faithful to Jesus Christ. Because one of these days, even the dead in Christ shall rise first. So let's keep the flame going. Let's keep the spirit together. Let's be united. And let us be a strength and a foe to the enemy. So that when we get together, because it says that when we pray together, we stay together and we make ourselves a stumbling block against the enemy. So today I want to encourage you to stay near Jesus Christ. And he will take care of you. What do you say? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again we want to thank you for your power and for your Holy Spirit. We want to thank you for your goodness and your watchful care over us. Lord, as we live in a chaos world, we know that you will take care of your children. We pray that you'll continue to bless us and guide us and give us the assurance that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Bless, guide, and sustain and take care of us. And help us to be drawn closer to thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 312, Jesus keep me near the cross.